The following was produced for the Focus on the Family daily radio broadcast, featuring psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. This program is entitled Leaving a Legacy for Your Family, and originally aired in September of 2005. And now here's how this broadcast got underway.
To my dear daughter Elise, as I look back over the last several years, I see so many areas as your dad that I could have done better. I've made a lot of mistakes, and at times, I've hurt you deeply. And I pray that you can forgive me. But more than that,
I want you to know that I love you unconditionally. Which means that no matter what, my love for you will never change. I will always want the best for you, and will be proud to call you my daughter. Love, Daddy.
Well, if you knew that today would be your last opportunity to tell your children, your wife, what they mean to you, what in the world would you say? How important would your words be to those family members? Have you ever considered those words seriously? If not, stay with us, please, because today's Focus on the Family broadcast is certainly going to address one of the most important things you can ever do, and that is to leave a legacy for your loved ones. I'm John Fuller, and sitting in for Dr. James Dobson today while he's out of the office is a dear friend of this ministry, Mr. Charlie Jarvis. He has been our guest for the past several days looking at midlife issues, and Dr. Dobson asked Charlie to stay on and host today's program. Charlie, it's good to have you here. For the benefit of our listeners who weren't with us these past few days, Charlie is a former executive vice president here at Focus on the Family. He is currently the chairman and chief executive of USA Next, a conservative nonprofit organization, which, as was discussed these past couple of days on the air, all about uniting seniors and their children and their grandchildren. Again, Charlie, it's really great to have you back with us.
It's great to be back, John.
Now, you indicated as you sat there that you've never done this, and few people do sit in Dr. Dobson's chair, but you have his blessing in doing that, so I'm looking forward to what we have today. This is really a very significant and, I think, often overlooked topic that we're about to talk about.
Absolutely. John, I have four boys and a wonderful, lovely wife, Vicky, that I love deeply. Nothing outside of Christ, nothing outside of Christ means more to me than to communicate to them my love, my hopes, my dreams for them. And that's why I'm here today. We've invited several men to Focus on the Family who feel the same way about their families, too, which is great. One is Mr. Greg Vaughn, who has written a powerful, John, this is a powerful book, as you know, with Fred Holmes. And it's getting attention all across the country now. It's called Letters from Dad. Greg is an Emmy Award-winning film producer. He's the founder of Letters from Dad, which helps men leave a legacy of faith, like you were talking about, a legacy of hope and a legacy of love to their families through the lost art of letter writing. Mm. He's also president and founder of the Visual Biography Company, and that company has produced over 40 biographies for the heroes in people's lives, such as parents and grandparents. He's married to the lovely Carolyn, and they have seven children. And next to him is Mark Harmon, who is self-employed, a successful businessman. He's in the insurance field. Mm-hmm. He and Greg are friends. They both live in the Dallas, Texas area and attend the same church, and they follow the adage, don't mess with Texas. Mark is married to the lovely Pam, and they have two children.
Mm. Now, also joining us is another Texas boy, Steve Partlow, who happens to be a longtime friend, Greg, I think, of yours, and has worked here at Focus on the Family for over 10 years. He's an assistant to the chairman here. Before that, he was on staff with Young Life for 21 years. Steve and his wife, Candy, have three children. And Steve, Greg, and Mark, what do you say to Charlie? He alone has not lived in Texas. Is it too late for him to get down there?
We're going
to
pray.
Well, we're just a bunch of guys here. We're all fathers. We've got a heart for the family, and we're looking forward to this time together. Combined, you know, I was just counting. We represent 22 children, and that's pretty good reason to have a big interest in this topic of leaving a legacy. Every one of us has that in our heart. And Steve and Mark, we're going to come back to you in just a little bit because we want to find out how you got involved in the Letters from Dad. But first, let's start with you, Greg. This concept of Letters from Dad has literally exploded onto the scene in the past 3 years. How did that happen exactly?
Oh, Charlie, if we don't think we have a God with a great sense of humor, just hang out with us for a few minutes. If I could explain my adventure, it's really humorous. There are probably 78 million baby boomers that have a similar story to mine. A World War II father who loved me, worked hard 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. But Charlie just couldn't wrap his arms around me and say those magic words we all dream of. Son, I'm proud of you. I love you. And he died of Alzheimer's a few years ago. Charlie, I don't fish, but for some reason it was a hot July day. My wife asked me to clean out the garage. Not one of my favorite tasks, but I was there in my garage, sweeping it out. And for some reason I kept looking to my left and seeing the only thing I inherited from my father, which is a rusty fishing tackle box.
And you had it right there.
I brought it all the way from Texas there, John. And as I was there, I tell you, I must confess, Charlie, I was angry. I was angry at my dad for dying on me, angry at myself for not kind of having the kind of relationship I wanted with him, and angry with myself. So I went over to that tackle box, and I was about to throw it in the trash can. And I said, well, I think I'll just open it up. And guys, as I opened it up, I stared at the only thing left of my father. Rusty fishing lures, Makura comb off, and I began to weep, began to say, God, is this it? Is this all there is to life? And the Lord, in his kindness, in his grace, spoke a word to me. And it went something like this. It went, hey, Big Shot, you're out here mad at everybody, and I have a question for you. If you were to die today, what would your seven children and your wife hold in their hands tomorrow that would let them know that they were the treasures of your life? It was like a two before, guys, right between the eyes. And I said, well, wait a minute. I tell them I love them all the time. We vacation, and I hug them. And it went, I didn't talk about that. Those fade, memory fade. I'm talking about hold. And I remembered, I said, God, if it has anything to do with letter writing, please go to my neighbor here, you know. And I knew it did, Charlie. It had to do something with letter writing. And I hate to write letters. I hate to write. And here I am with great humor leading a movement of men throughout now the world, encouraging them to leave a legacy of faith, hope, and love through the lost art of letter writing.
That's powerful.
You know, some guys can go into battle more easily than they can write a letter, can't they? Because isn't it true that guys often have a very difficult time, and you found this in your experience as you began to develop letters from Dad, that being able to write, how did you do that? How did you make the break from that resistance level that you had as a man?
Well, I began to focus on the question, and I came to this conclusion. I love my seven children more than my fears. So I decided to face those fears, and having been involved in small groups all my life, I said, I know what I'll do. I'll call my best friends. Maybe they can help. So I called 12 of my closest friends. Charlie, these are busy men. These are entrepreneurial guys. These are wonderful, godly men that I knew loved their kids. And I asked them three questions. I said, guys, I've got you on the cell phone here. Let me ask you a question. Do you think about your kids when your brain is off your work? Oh, yeah. Do you think about the things you want to say to them and maybe, you know, never have? Oh, yeah. Third question, final question, do you possess a letter of love and blessing and affirmation from your earthly father? Silence. No. I said, well, either do I.
All of them said
all,
no.
12. All the same answer, yes, yes, no. And I said, I don't either. Let me ask you this. If you had one of those, what would you give for it? Just about anything. I said, I've got an idea. I don't know if it's a good idea. I'd like to suggest we have dinner together. Maybe meet once for dinner for 4 months. It's not the study of Romans. We're not going to do this every week. And let's see if we can have dinner and figure this out. And, Charlie, that's where the adventure began.
That's exciting. Now, you also referred to a book, The Blessing, by Gary Smalley and John Trent. What did you learn from that, and why did you delve into that?
Boy, that's a funny story. I knew that there was a book, something about the blessing, and one night I couldn't sleep, and my wife was out of town. I literally tore up the house looking for that book, and I found it and read it, and I said, yeah, maybe this will help. I'll go buy 12 copies of the book. So when we arrived that first time, by the way, when is the last time you asked 12 busy men anywhere and all 12 show up?
It's very difficult.
And guess what? They brought two friends. There were 14 people. So I brought the blessing book, Charlie, and we just learned so much from that. And that was kind of a little bit of a textbook for us.
Explain for a moment why a father's written words were so important. How did you get into that in your conversation with the men? And I want you to touch upon a very important theme in the book, if you would, how you sort of discovered how God communicated with us.
Well, obviously, I was terrified. I was asking 12 of my closest friends to go on an adventure I had no knowledge of. I had nothing but a book. And I began to pray and seek God on that. And then something strange. I was reading my Bible, and I remembered, wait a minute. You know, 70-something percent of the New Testament is a letter. God has modeled this for us. And I remember laughing. I said, man, I'm so glad God didn't send me an email or a fax when he wanted to communicate his love. He sent me a love letter. And I remember saying to the men, if God thought it important enough to do this, you know, shouldn't we go do likewise?
Mm. You know, we have a wonderful clip here from your daughter, Becky, that I think our listeners would really love to hear. And it deals with this issue of the importance of a father's words.
Let's listen to that now.
Before letters from Dad, before he started this, my most precious keepsake from my father was a wire hanger. He had, for some crazy reason, I don't know why, was in my closet one day and took out a wire hanger that had a piece of, you know, the paper on it and just had simply written, Beck, I love you, Dad. And that wire hanger I've had hanging in my closet for about 13 years. It has been with me 4 years to college and now has come home and it's still hanging in my closet. And so since he started letters from Dad, I have received much more tangible, permanent things in letter form. Letting him know what I've always known, but I have to read it. And as a daughter, the Lord has given daughters this incredible God longing to be blessed and to be loved by your father.
Those words are from Greg Vaughn's daughter, Becky, and this is Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, sitting in for Dr. Dobson today. Is Charlie Jarvis. And Charlie, that little audio clip demonstrates how hungry our children are for any good word we can give them, any sense of a blessing. What a very powerful illustration that was.
Oh, that was so moving. Becky is dear, and she communicates it through her voice and her love for you and what you've done in impacting her. You know, I want to bring our guys in here, Mark and Steve, because they've had some amazing experiences with Letters from Dad. Steve, how did you hear about Letters from Dad in the first place?
You know, it was, I've known Greg for a long time, and we did Young Life together. We worked with kids, but we were reacquainted going with a bunch of men skiing at Beaver Creek. And we had probably 120 guys there. And Greg is my personal ski instructor. And so while we were riding up on one of the lifts, and it just happened to be a two-person part of the lift at that point, and we were riding up, and Greg said, do you have anything from your dad that tells you he loves you or a blessing, perhaps? And I started, I mean, we rode for a little bit there, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I do. And a little taken back, and I said, you know, my dad would write to me regularly, and sometimes it was just in the form of a note. My mom would do this, too, from time to time, but Dad would quite often write a note on a paper, a napkin, and put it in my lunch that I took to school. Now, I hate to say, I was ashamed quite often to pull that out and find that handwriting on that piece of paper that my friends would make fun of me if they saw that. So I quickly read it, and I wadded it up, put it at the bottom of my paper bag, and threw it away. I would love to have a collection of those to this day.
Steve, you're getting teary-eyed just going back in time to that point, thinking about how powerful those were.
Dad, for he was not a person of writing. He was a verbal person. Loved me so much, and he loved my brother and sister, too.
Tell us about your relationship with your dad over the years.
My relationship with my dad is really special. My dad calls me Sonny Boy. I hated that, too. I hated to be in front of people be called Sonny Boy. And it was a term of affection, though. And I knew that that meant I was special. Not more special than my other two brothers and sisters, but it meant I was special. And he gave me something to keep my notes in that I gotten from him and from Mom. And
when was that he gave that to you?
I think it was sixth grade because we were moving, and it was kind of something to be able to keep track of. I was accumulating stuff. Guys pick up stuff. Girls collect. And my dad was a pipe smoker at the time. And somehow or another, I've asked him about it since then. You know, what gave you the idea to do that? And he said, you just seem like you needed something to keep your stuff in. And so he gave me just a cardboard cigar box to put all my notes in. And after a while, I got pretty full. And I started keeping letters from my wife, who we dated from high school on.
Oh,
I kept them
gosh.
In here, too.
That's great.
And then the back end of it started ripping off, and the top came off. And I used rubber bands for a while, but that still didn't hold it. And finally, much later on, about 13 years ago, my wife had a box made out of beautiful cedar made for me to be able to put all those things in now and for future letters. So I was very fortunate in that way that my dad wrote me, and he verbally told me that, and it was always this huge bear hug from this guy that had a 58-inch chest. You know, just it hurt, but I knew it was the good kind of feel that I felt loved and cared for.
What's your relationship with your dad now, Steve?
Dad still lives in the Dallas area where we grew up. I get to go back there quite often, and I always stop by to see him. My mother died about 6 years ago. Dad's living in an apartment by himself, doing pretty well, but he has the pre-Alzheimer's. He has dementia. And from time to time, he can't remember back to the fact that I was just talking to him on the phone or that I'd just been there, but he remembers me in the moment. And when I knock on that door and he opens it up and he's standing there, he's on a cane, he says, "Welcome home, Sonny Boy."
Steve,
that's a great feeling.
Steve, that's a great picture.
Steve, would you share with them what you told me earlier? Where does he keep those little notes and letters?
I have been writing him letters. He doesn't want a long letter, just a note on a half sheet of paper. And he keeps them next to a little table next to his chair. And when I asked the lady who kind of takes care of his medical needs, she said, "You know, Steve, your dad reads those notes all the time." And he gets quite teary-eyed at times. And all I've done is say, "Thank you for teaching me how to use a wrench. Thank you for teaching me how to fish." And I know because my dad was crippled growing up, he couldn't take me hunting like all the other guys. He rebuilt cars with me. I had six cars during high school that we built. The most expensive one was $125. I mean, it was, we did it together, though.
That Charlie, great memories.
Isn't that neat the way the Lord has allowed Steve to write back to his father?
Exactly.
And return the favor, so to speak.
That's exactly right. That is the legacy, that kind of feedback between the generations and building each other up. Mark, what about you? What about your dad, your relationship with him?
My relationship with my dad couldn't be stronger. My dad is 71, very active in his oil and gas business in Tyler, and we speak on the phone at least once every 24 hours and get together a couple of times a month. We go on annual fishing trips. I can't get him back in the swing of golf, but we have a strong, strong bond, and I couldn't be prouder of that.
Now, it hasn't been really that long, right, since you've gotten plugged into your church and begun to really grow, and the Lord is obviously working in your life, and Letters from Dad has played a part in that. How?
Oh, absolutely. When I, my wife and I first visited our church in McKinney, Texas, I had strayed away from the Lord growing up in Baptist church all my life. And I knew he was there, but I just, I strayed away. And when I first visited McKinney Fellowship Bible Church, he just thumped me in the head. And I like to call it was cornbread and chicken. The sermon made sense. It fit. I was able to wear it for the whole week. And through my rededicating my life to Christ and getting rebaptized, I met Greg. Mm. This is just really emotional for me. And Greg invited me to attend Letters from Dad, and I was reluctant because, like most men, thick skin, hard-headed, mm-hmm. I thought, how can I possibly write a blessing letter? Who's going to help me write this blessing letter? Mm-hmm. And I accepted the challenge, and I went, and to my surprise, it was a group of men sitting around a table just like me. And we had barbecue, yeah. And we talked, and these were all godly men.
That was Texas barbecue.
That was Texas real barbecue, exactly. And Greg was leading a class, and I feel so privileged and honored to have had Greg teach my my legacy group. But I took the course. I felt it. I felt the Lord working in my heart. I was reading scripture. I prayed about it. And I knew the first letter that I needed to write and wanted to write was a blessing letter to my wife, because she's been my rock. Mm. I mean, we talked about this earlier, how important our wives are in our lives. And my wife is definitely, next to Christ, the most important thing in my life. Mm. And I wrote this beautiful letter to her. And
how did you present that letter to her?
That's the greatest part, is after writing the letter, I knew how I wanted to present it to her and when. What she didn't know is that I was working behind the scenes, and I made reservations at a very nice restaurant in Dallas. I wanted it to be a private, semi-private room, a booth, because I knew it would be very emotional for her and myself. I had the box, the beautiful mahogany box, gift-wrapped, and I took it to this restaurant, gave it to the maitre d' during the day, and before they opened, of course, and I said, I'll be back for dinner tonight. We have reservations. Right before dessert, I would like for you to deliver this to my booth and hand it to my wife.
Husbands, out there in the listening audience, this is something to emulate.
Mm-hmm. We enjoyed a great dinner. I just told my wife I wanted to take her out for a date night, and we did. And we go out a lot. I just called it a date night. And we were dressed up and had a great dinner, and she thought it was wonderful. I did. And right after the meal, the maitre d' shows up with this large gift-wrapped box in white with a beautiful bow, silver and gold on it. And my wife had a deer-in-the-headlights look. What is this? It's not our anniversary. It's not my birthday. And she opened and saw this mahogany box.
With her name engraved on it.
Her name was engraved on the front. And it was my job, my desire, to read her this letter.
My goodness.
And this letter was a blessing letter from my heart to hers about what she meant to me in my life from the first moment I met her. Mm-hmm. And that how my life would be so different without her. But I just wanted her to know, I wanted her to have the security, the affirmation that she had a letter in her hand. Mm. If God took me home tomorrow, my wife has this beautiful blessing letter that I wrote her through God's help from the bottom of my heart that she could cherish forever.
My, that's wonderful. Mm. That is wonderful. How did she respond? We have to know. Don't leave it. Only was clinging to the cliff.
She was sobbing like a baby. Of course, I was, too. And she will tell you to this day that my husband could have bought a 10-carat diamond and a Mercedes. Nothing could ever replace this letter. Mm.
Isn't that something? Greg, you're hearing story after story after story like this, aren't you, all over the country?
Charlie, when I hear that, it's really overwhelming to me, because what started in a group of 12 is spreading like a spiritual virus all over the nations, and mm-hmm. people out there may be saying, well, I'm not a restaurant guy. I couldn't do that. But you know what? I just came from Ruston, Louisiana, and I come from all parts of the country where I'm speaking with men. They get it. They don't have to go to a fancy restaurant, but they get it. Write a letter of love and blessing. Get a beautiful mahogany box that will be where they keep the treasures of their life. take them out someplace special and read the letter to them. Mm. And watch the magic of God's love and forgiveness and grace and mercy fall over the family and their life.
That is really amazing. Now, there is a story of a wonderful situation in a church in Booker, Texas, I think, in your book, which brought me to tears. It was so moving.
You know, there are churches flying to Dallas from all over the nation, big churches, little churches. I love working with little churches. And I'll never forget, Charlie, this guy came when he brought his head deacon. His name was Bill. And I was training away, and finally Bill said to me, "Could I say something, Greg?" I said, "Yes, sure, Bill." He says, "Well, I just been sitting here looking at you, and I determined something. You ain't no phony." I said, "Woo, glad I passed that." He says, "You know, when you drive into Booker and you're a phony, we can smell you coming." But anyway, here was a pastor, Pastor Butch Heron, who had prayed for 10 years for revival in the whopping town of Booker, Texas, up in the Panhandle. And you know what? It's a population of 1,600 people in the county. And he picked a really crummy time to have his barbecue. They called me and they said, "Greg, we got the smokers going out front. We don't know how many people are going to show up." And I said, "You're having it tonight?" And he said, "Yeah, I know. It's kind of a bad night. It's the NBA championships." And I said, "Yeah, we'll need some prayer." And I said, "Well, call me and tell me how it went." They called me 9:30 that night and says, "You know, Greg, I want you to listen to something." And he held the phone up and he says, "These men," the first question they ask is, "Are we going to be out in time to watch the game?" He says, "Have you ever seen 22 people weeping and not wanting to leave the church?"
Isn't that so?
Revival broke out in Booker, Texas. That church has almost doubled in size since the revival took place.
Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, John, we've covered a lot of territory already, but there's a lot more stories to cover, don't we, John?
Plenty of application and I think probably some answers to objections and questions that our audience members are surely thinking and wanting to have you speak to.
Exactly. There are people who obviously have questions about the details of how to write the letters, put them together, and that sort of thing. So we're going to continue, and I want to thank you so much for being here.
Our privilege.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
And with that, we've come to the end of day one of this two-part Focus on the Family broadcast. Now, here's day two.
As I was reading the letter, I felt like we were the only two people on earth. To know that my husband took the time to put his thoughts in words. And he wasn't afraid, he wasn't ashamed, he might have felt a little uncomfortable. But it didn't matter what anyone else thought. He was thinking about me, and I'll cherish that forever.
The power of the written word in the lives of those around us, those emotions being expressed from a very thankful wife for the heartfelt letter that she received from her husband. And that's the subject matter, the concept of writing letters to our loved ones. That's what we're dealing with on today's Focus on the Family broadcast. I'm John Fuller, and sitting in for Dr. James Dobson once more is our friend, Mr. Charlie Jarvis. And Charlie, it's great to have you back yet another day.
Oh, it's wonderful to be back. It's like coming home.
Let me, as we start, just refer back to something. I've got permission from one of our guests here to do this. For our listeners, let me let you hear the sounds that we began with last time. It was a tackle box with fishing lures in it, and you can kind of hear some of those things, and it's got...
A tackle box, by the way, that's been through quite a few beatings.
A battle-scarred tackle box. He's got old aspirin and antacids and a can of mosquito spray and all sorts of things.
Everything you need for a fishing trip.
Now, how that ties in to writing letters to our loved ones is a fascinating story.
It really is. I'll tell you, we have three wonderful guys here with us that we want to get into some stories from them. They love their kids. They love their wives. They've each been challenged, John, to break through some of those stereotypes about writing down their feelings, the typical communication barriers that frankly can cause men to completely miss out on the most important things they'll ever do in their lives. Mm. You know, Steve, you've had some very unique experiences with this. I would dare say with your wife, Candy, with letters from Dad. Tell us about what happened when you did this with Candy and wrote your first letter.
Sure. I had mentioned to Candy several times after spending some time with Greg. We've been longtime friends, and I said, you know, this is something I need to do. I spent a good portion of my life sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with high school kids and with my own, but I haven't written anything down to my own children or my wife that would say the same things, but in a more permanent manner, in a more permanent way. And I said, you know me, I am not a letter writer. And she said, you can do this. She really encouraged me. She said, you know your children would love to have a note from you. So there are lots of different ways you can do this, but I chose to write my wife and my kids all a letter, individualized, and I bought each one of them a different box for it to go in, and had Candy help me find these boxes. Actually, I was a little miffed at how to do that, and she got one for each one that helped me find them, you know, where to go to find them. I put the letter in each one. We wrapped them, and I said, on cue, on Father's Day at dinner, I said, after the meal, you know, kids, y'all are very special to me, and your mom is exceptionally special to me, because if it wasn't for her, you wouldn't be here sitting at this table. So this is a very special group to me. It's a special day, and since it is Father's Day, we get to do whatever we want, right? I said, you've given me some nice gifts and wonderful cards. I want to give you a gift today. And so I brought out these boxes and set them in front of each one of the kids. And I'd also gotten a box for Candy and put it in front of her too. And I had written a letter to her as well, thanking her for being that life partner that I'd met in high school. We'd shared a lot of things together over the years, and to be able to have that for each one of them to open that box, it was a little quiet there, Charlie, for a imagine. Few minutes, not knowing what is this. And
you see after how quiet the, it got here.
After the pregnant pause, they opened the box. Each one of them opened their box, including Candy, and pulled out their single letter that was inside and started reading it. So, Charlie, while they were looking at their letters and reading them silently, I lifted off the floor my box and put it on the table. And I opened the latch and opened it up. And I said to my 26-year-old daughter, Heidi, here's a letter you wrote me when you were in the ninth grade. Let me read it to you. And I took out letters from each one of my kids that I had been saving in my box that they didn't know about. Yes. And started reading them to them. This is when a letter that you wrote to me on Father's Day 6 years ago when I was in Russia working with orphans there, and I couldn't be home for Father's Day. And you sent it along with your mom so that I could have it on Father's Day. Mm-hmm. These are treasured pieces. I read them often. They give me encouragement. I don't want to skip the legacy. My dad gave me this box. I showed him the cigar box. I keep these letters in there. I hope that you will keep these letters that I'm writing you treasured too, and it won't stop with you.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, a legacy box is really a true treasure chest, isn't it?
Yeah. And I wanted to read Candy's out loud. It became very difficult to do, but what a blessing to be able to share that in front of your kids, how much your wife means to you, and what devotion she has shown to all of us, especially to me. And so a little later on, I took that and I wrote a little something different, and I put it in the form of a Greg's suggestion, put it in the form of a nicely typed note, and then framed it. I went out to a craft store, found a wonderful frame, matted it myself, put the nails in the back, put the wire on it, and gave it to her. And let me tell you what, that hangs in our bedroom right next to the wall that she wakes up every morning to see.
I wish our listeners could see this beautifully framed blessing here in front of us.
Charlie, could I say something?
Yes, please.
You know, people say, well, I don't know where to get started. I don't know what to do. Well, you heard from my Becky. It was her 22nd birthday, and I sat down at a computer, and I said, God, give me a word to bless my daughter. And I just felt overwhelmed with blessing. And I just said, on this 22nd birthday, I want to give you a blessing. I am blessed because you've always been my dear and precious friend. I am blessed because you love the Lord Jesus. I just went through a litany of blessings. And all of a sudden, I looked at it, and it was in this beautiful font. It's the same type of letter Steve has before you here. And I delivered it. This single letter is the simplest, most effective letter I've ever seen in Letters from Dad. Your listeners are out there going, I could never write a letter. Well, guess what? They can come on the Focus on the Family website and get this samples of this letter. Mm-hmm. And right. I actually gave this blessing letter to my mom. I gave it to a friend of mine who was dying in the hospital the other day. And it just simply lays out why we are proud and blessed to be their friend or their husband or so forth. Mm. I wrote this to my dear wife, to my dear Carolyn. Today, I want to give you a blessing. I am blessed to have you as my dear and loving wife. I am blessed because you are the Lord Jesus. I am blessed because you are a prayer warrior on my behalf. I am blessed because you forgive me when I'm so sinful. I am blessed because you have modeled what real love is. I am blessed because you always give me wise counsel. I am blessed because you have a tender heart. I am blessed because you chose me to be your life partner. I am blessed because you always speak with honor towards me. I am blessed because of your laughter and your contagious smile. I am blessed because we will spend eternity together. I guess what I'm really trying to say here, sweetheart, is I am blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And just like it's Steve's, wonderful. Look at this beautiful frame. It can be framed and given on any occasion, Charlie.
Yes, you're exactly right. And one of the things our listeners have to be thinking about is, how do we do this? Mark, how did you follow through on letters from Dad, and how did that impact relationships of yours?
That's a great question, Charlie. The curriculum that Greg provides through Letters from Dad gives men a toolbox. It gives us all the sample letters, the reading material. We're not out on an island. Greg makes it very simple. Letters from Dad gives you a roadmap of how to write these beautiful letters to your loved ones. And if it were up to men to try to figure this out for themselves, none of these letters would ever be written. But it's been simplified. And after the letter to my wife, I was on a roll. And I presented my dad at Christmas Day in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I read him a blessing letter thanking him for all the fishing trips, what a great dad he was, because I didn't want him to think that I ever took those things for granted.
No, that's exactly
And he was
right.
so special to me. And
what a great thing for him to receive. And you wrote your mom, too, didn't you?
I wrote my mother after 5 years of silence. Mm. We had a splintered family, and as most people know, there's can be some downtime between children and parents. But I wrote my mother a blessing letter. I felt like there was a wedge between me and the Lord. And this allowed me to write this blessing letter to my mother. I wrapped it up in a beautiful box, gift-wrapped it, UPS'd it to her home. And she received it on her birthday. And she called me after she read this letter, bawling. And my mother and I speak several times a week now. So the blessing letter removed this incredible 5-year wedge that had created total silence between the two of us. So I'm so thankful to God for helping me to write that letter and remove that wedge.
Mm. Broke down the barriers.
Yes, then. Absolutely.
This is Focus on the Family. I'm John Fuller, and our subject today, obviously dealing with letters of love to our family members, to our loved ones. Sitting in for Dr. James Dobson is Mr. Charlie Jarvis. And Charlie, what we're hearing right here from Mark is very important, and I don't want it to pass by. We have a lot of families, Mark, like yours, who are listening to us right now. We have families that have been split apart. We have fatherless homes where dad just isn't a part of the daily equation. We have single dad homes. Greg, I'd like you to speak to that and talk about the impact of putting down on paper some of our thoughts.
You know, if you were to sit in a legacy group as a legacy leader, and by the way, Mark is one, 12 men gathered from all kinds of backgrounds. And the first question I ask is, let's just start to the right here. If you would, tell me your name and if you're married, how long? But more importantly, this, why are you here? Oh, my goodness, if you could just sit in on that conversation, because you hear exactly what you're talking about. I haven't spoken to my father in 10 years. I'd just gone through a divorce. I hated my father. I love my father. It just doesn't matter where men are coming from, whether it's broken. It seemed like, though, John, the greater the brokenness, the greater the need for letters of dad. Mm-hmm. And our theme verse is this, Malachi 4:6. God says in the very last book of the Old Testament, in the last verse, he says, before the great time of tribulation comes, I'm going to do a great thing. I will send forth in the spirit of Elijah a new-looking spirit, and it'll do this, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. That word, guys, is the word reconcile. Mm-hmm. And so powerful. The story, the powerful story that Mark told, is really the spirit of Elijah that's been unleashed, the spirit of reconciliation.
Charlie. Bringing people together and tearing down those barriers. Mm-hmm.
This is, we brought Greg on because he wrote this book, Letters from Dad, and as we're sitting here learning that it's not just a book, it's also an organization, it's a group of resources, it's an event that men can go to. It really is, I think you alluded to this earlier, it really is a movement that God seems to be using to sweep across the country and change families.
It really is. It's touching men and women and kids. And grandparents, too. Isn't that true?
Oh, Charlie, you're talking to the most excited grandfather on planet Earth. I just had my first one. And you get those granddads in a legacy group, and they catch the vision. Oh, my goodness. I get to say things to my great-great-grandchildren. And the most beautiful letters I've ever read in my life. Tender-hearted grandfathers. I had a letter. In fact, it's sitting before me right now. It was a letter from a man who said to me, Greg, I'm 80 years old. He didn't know one person in this legacy group. And I would jump up at the drop of a hat. I worked 100 to 120 hours a week as a doctor. I would run off and save the world. And I missed the most important thing in my life, my family. And I've come to Letters from Dad hoping to find a way to build some bridges. I got a call from his wife who said that he came to his son's birthday party and pulled out a frame and a letter and read it and said it was the greatest moment of our family's life.
What a statement. You know, hearing that, I'm thinking there are guys out there who are saying, I don't think I can do this. Mark, you had an experience with your dad struggling with it, didn't you?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I rode with Greg to Tyler to assist him in kicking off Letters from Dad in the Tyler chapter with a couple of gentlemen down there who actually went through the curriculum with myself when I went through it last fall. And my dad invited about 8 of his buddies from the Tyler area. And I thought, man, hallelujah. Look at all these men we have in here for this great lunch. And Greg did a remarkable job and asked the gentlemen in there to raise their hands of how many men had blessing letters from their fathers. And not one man.
40 men. Zero letters.
These are men anywhere from late 40s to early 70s, I would say. And my dad signed up, and he had been the recipient of a letter from myself, knew about the letter to my wife. And I encouraged my dad to get involved, but also understand that my dad, being his age and where he came from with his father, and I had a very loving grandfather, by the way, who was a very strong Christian, but my dad just can't muster up the strength to write these letters. He has the boxes. He's gone through the curriculum, and he's struggling. And he says, son, just pray for me. I'll get to it. But that's just one story. I've invited many men. And for you men out there listening, I know how tough it is. And I just would encourage you to read the book, to get on the website, understand what Letters from Dad is about, and put yourself in your children's and your wife's shoes. And I want to ask this question to you gentlemen here at the table. Would any of you dare to go on a golf outing or a fishing trip with a group of buddies and not tell your wife and children goodbye? No, you absolutely wouldn't. So why would, not knowing that you can plan on when God is going to take you home, why would you risk that? Why would you risk not telling your wife and children and your parents what they mean to you?
And a letter can be such a powerfully simple way to do it. You know, we have an extraordinarily touching story from an Army chaplain. His name is Gregory Shanup. And we have an audio clip, John, mm-hmm. don't we?
We do, yes.
And I think our listeners and all of us here would find it very, very significant to hear this story mm-hmm. about how a letter affects a legacy.
They say that you don't miss what you never had. Well, I never had a father, and I'll tell you right now, I knew that I did not have a father, and I missed him very much. Dad was career Army Air Corps, and he was a pilot, and his plane was the B-17, and that's the plane that he was flying the day that his plane was lost, somewhere between Japan and the Philippines. I was 4 months old when my dad died. He never even saw me. And so all my love went to my mom, who had three other children besides me. So I was the fourth of four boys. And I probably grew up a little quicker than I should have under those circumstances because I didn't have a father. And what an impact that made on me my whole life. It made an impact on my mom, too. She never remarried, and she never got over Dad's death. And it was a very trying time for her. And she didn't do well with that. And she turned to drugs and alcohol. And when I was 14 years old, she died of a drug overdose. And at 14, my life just went to the pits. For the next 10 years, I did things I'm not very proud of today. But at the age of 24, I heard the gospel. I heard that someone loved me, cared for me, and would make me a new person. And so it was the Heavenly Father that I found out that I now had, and it was just awesome. I had a new life. I became an Army chaplain at the age of 30, and 10 years later, my brother gave me a call. This was the same brother who commissioned me as a second lieutenant years before. He said, "Greg, I went through the attic and found some old letters that Dad had written Mom, and as I looked through them, I noticed that even though it was written to Mom, the letter inside was to you." And he told me, "Greg, you need to come read this letter. You need to take a long walk and spend some time because it's the most powerful letter you will ever read." This is the letter that I received from my dad. It was written even before he knew whether I was born yet, whether I was a boy or a girl, Saturday, March 23rd, 1946. "Darling little new arrival, welcome to the Shanup family. This is far from being the best way for a daddy to welcome his new child into the family, but under the circumstances, it's about the best I can do. Needless to say, I'd give anything in the world if I could just see you. And hold you in my arms. But I'm sure your sweet mother will try and explain to you why I can't just yet. I know that as soon as you get acquainted with us, you'll be glad that you picked us out. You will find that your three big brothers are the finest boys in the world, and your mother is the sweetest, loveliest woman in all creation, and she'll take the best care of you and mother you to beat the band. This Shanup family you're joining is really a marvelous gang. As for your mother and me, well, we'll adore you, we'll spoil you, we'll make over you, we'll love you just like we do your big brothers. We'll paddle your fanny when you need it, we'll dig in sand piles together, we'll feed you, we'll take care of you. If you get sick, we'll take you on trips with us, we'll go see things together, we'll try to teach you right from wrong. We'll devote our lives to raising you properly and making you into a healthy, clean-cut, worthy citizen of our fine country. I want so badly to see you, little darling. I want to so badly see you, little darling, but I can't just yet. But in the meantime, I do send all my love to you with all your daddy's best wishes for a long, healthy, and happy lifetime. And here's my first hug and kiss for you. How about giving some to your big brothers and your mother for me too, will you? I love you, little darling. And again, We're all so happy you're with us. All my love, your daddy.
Well, Greg and Mark, Steve, it has been a pleasure to talk with you about this. John, this is a powerful concept, this Letters from Dad, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I hope that as a result of this broadcast, we're going to see thousands of dads and husbands and grandfathers pouring out on paper, taking that first step, letters to their loved ones, the things that, frankly, that really matter the most. There's no telling what this could mean to family relationships around the world. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here.
It's our privilege to be here.
Charlie, thanks. John, Steve, Greg, I want to thank you all for having me on the show and allowing me to share my stories with you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Well, gathered around the table here, it's been obvious that we have a group of men passionate about this concept of letter writing to our families, and I'll include myself as one of those. I've written notes to my children and my wife, and I'm inspired by our conversation these past couple of days to be more intentional in that process and much more regular about recording thoughts on paper. I hope you've been pushed just a little bit to consider doing the same thing. And I'll suggest that you get a copy of Greg Vaughn's book. Once more, the title is Letters from Dad, as a great starting point. Now, if you can't find that at a local bookstore or an online retailer, then you can do this. You can go to Greg's website, lettersfromdad.com, at which he has sample letters and further curriculum information. If you have any general questions about family, about relationships, about your faith, then I'll suggest our website, Focus on the Family, can be found online at family.org. We have 160,000 people a day coming by that website. Maybe you're one of them already. If not, bookmark family.org. Our producer for this series has been John Scott Welch. Thanks to our engineering crew, which included Pete Stokey, Andrew Stevens, Matt Bardwell, Greg Waterworth, and Linda Rexford. Our guest host for today, filling in for Dr. James Dobson, has been Charlie Jarvis. And I'm John Fuller, thanking you for tuning in and finding you back next time when we will once again turn our hearts toward home.
And that brings us to the end of this Focus on the Family program. We trust that this material has been helpful to you, and we welcome your questions or comments on this topic. Our address is Focus on the Family, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80995. Our phone number is 1-800, the letter A, and the word family. In Canada, write to Focus on the Family, Box 9800, Vancouver, BC, V6B4G3. The phone number in Canada is 1-800-661-9800. And thank you for listening.